Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome back to That's Politics. Today I'm going to introduce a new segment called Debates with Dad. Currently I'm on a road trip up to Michigan because I'm moving, and my dad is here in the car, and we just listened to my newest episode, and I'm going to debate him on his thoughts on my episode and my analysis on if Trump is a dictator. Dad, you want to say hi?
Hello, everybody.
Okay, so let's get started with my first question. Dad, do you think that Trump is a potential dictator or that he wants to be a dictator?
No, not at all.
Why is that?
Because one, he's only got, what, 3.5 years left? He can't run for another term, so constitutionally he can't be a dictator. Does he have dictator tendencies? To a certain extent, yes.
And what way do you think that he has dictatorial tendencies?
Well, I think the tendencies are brought by Congress being inept to actually do their job. So he has to file executive orders to get things accomplished because Congress is just too slow or not willing to do their job.
Do you think that the Constitution sets up Congress so that they are purposefully slow, so that they don't pass things that they shouldn't pass?
Well, I would say yes. And it's designed that way so people don't make rash decisions and just jump into things, which allows for debate and people to express different points of view, so that way they don't make mistakes when passing bills.
So do you think that every 4 years we should have this like rash like change?
I wouldn't say it's a rash change. I think that in this current administration, the American people are pretty upset with the government. You can see that their approval ratings are down across the board because they've just let things go. They've offed their responsibility to three-letter agencies and let them make basically rules under the color of law that infringe on the American people's rights. And the American people are pissed about it. So a drastic change is happening now, I believe, that should have happened a long time ago.
And do you think that Trump trying to push through all of these things and bolstering the power of the executive branch, do you not think that that is, in essence, Democratic backsliding?
I don't think it's Democratic backsliding. I think it's something that he is doing by design to engage the American people and to make Congress do their job.
I think Congress does their job. And I think they do it in the way that it is designed to go, right? Because you don't want them, again, passing things without deliberating or any of that. So if you just try and overhaul it and push through things without thinking or without deliberating, you can have unintended consequences of those actions, right?
Well, I think Congress doesn't do their job at all. I think they kick the can down the road. Every year you see these huge, you know, omnibus bills and the big, beautiful bill and all this other crazy stuff because they don't want to balance the budget. They spend like the money is like water and it's just going to come out of thin air. They say they want oversight and they don't produce oversight on anything. And that's why we have such a tremendous debt. They just spend. So Congress isn't doing their job. And that's why Trump is trying to bring everything to the American people's attention through executive order and through some of the lavish things that he says to get their attention. It just, you know, it's long past due that Congress actually steps up and starts doing what they start, you know, what they were supposed to be doing and stop delegating it to three-letter agencies.
But the executive branch is that, the executive branch. They execute legislation. So is that not within their purview to delegate this to three-letter agencies, I guess, and have them execute it because Congress is the purse?
No. The only body that can enact laws is Congress. A bunch of these three-letter agencies are enacting what they suppose are rules under the color of law, and they make them enforceable under law, which is a violation of the Constitution altogether.
Okay, I'm going to change gears and talk about some of the things that I mentioned in my episode. I want to see your opinion about Trump's ego. Because we talked about in the last episode, the autocracies versus democracy episode, dictators have huge egos. Do you think Trump has a very large ego, and do you think that is a good or bad thing?
I think a lot of people have large egos, and I know Trump absolutely has a large ego, but he's a billionaire. And you look at everything he's accomplished in his life, I think he has a right to have a large ego. Sometimes it's fun to watch, sometimes it's annoying. But yeah, he's got an ego, like most people.
I have a question. Do you think that his rallies, do you think that his rallies are for him or for the constituents?
I'd say both. Definitely for the people, because they want to hear him speak and see where he stands. And every time they hear him speak, even though he says the same thing like 6 million times during a rally, he goes along with what the people are thinking. So they get all excited, and when they get all excited and start hooting and hollering, of course that's going to boost his ego, but it also assures him that he's on the right track with what his people want.
How do you think that Trump hears what his people want, or do you think that he tells the people what they want?
Well, I think that he hears what the people want. He's been seeing it for years before he even ran for office back in the 70s and 80s. You know, talking about politics and how our government was being ripped off by other foreign countries through tariffs and stuff like that. So he's had his finger on the pulse of American people for a long time. And I think the American people have been silenced through our politicians, gaslighting us, telling us what, you know, we want to hear, that they're going to do this, they're going to do that, and nothing ever gets accomplished. So Trump has been hearing this for years. He's been stating the same things for years. And now he's ruling through executive order, trying to get the politicians to make these things happen for the benefit of all Americans, not just Democrats or Republicans or independents or a minority group. He wants it for everybody. So I think he thinks the same thing as the American people do, but he's the one that's saying it. And then his support base, you know, goes to his rallies and are loud and energetic, and that just feeds into his ego, like you were saying earlier. And so I think he's got his thumb on the pulse of American people, what they want, and he's trying to make it happen.
It is starting to rain, so if you hear some feedback on that, that's, again, we're in a car. We're on a 10-hour trip up to Michigan as we're recording this. So my thing is that I find that him hosting rallies while holding office is unusual. We've never seen this from a president before, where they're hosting these big, like, rallies to support them while they're in office. Do you think that is unusual and that it is, I guess, professional and becoming of a president to do so?
I think it's absolutely exciting. And the reason why I say that is because he's keeping his base engaged. Because whether you're Democrat or Republican, when you're running for office, you say what you're going to say to get elected, and then nothing ever happens. So by him staying engaged with his base and keeping them energized, it's helping the momentum to get these things pushed through. Because oftentimes people vote and they're like, all right, I voted, this guy is in office, he's going to accomplish something for us, and they don't stay engaged. They just blank out. And that's both sides of the aisle. By him going out there and holding these rallies and these town halls and stuff like that, it keeps his base energized, keeps him involved, and that right there is going to push his agenda, because they're not just sitting by the wayside anymore saying, okay, we're elected, we've done our job, now it's his turn. No, he can't do it by himself. He has to have his base engaged and calling their congressmen and their senators to get this stuff passed. And by him holding these rallies and town halls is doing just that. So it's exciting to see him do it.
I've never thought about it as a way to make sure that the people are engaged in politics. I've always thought of it and looked at it through a lens of, like, these people are crazy and it's like a cult. Because, dude, sitting in that auditorium, it felt like a cult. But to take that spin on it, that's a really way of keeping people engaged, especially when it comes to, like, midterm elections. Because midterm elections are notoriously, like, low turnout constantly. Do you think that we'll have a high turnout because of him continuing these rallies come 2026?
I think we're having an exceptionally high turnout. You notice when he goes out and he holds these rallies and he gets people involved, even for like the general elections, we are having a higher turnout of people showing up to vote. And him keeping the base engaged up and through the midterms is going to have the same result. You're going to have a ton of people that are going to come out and vote. Some may stay with the Republican Party. Some may go independent, or they might go Democratic. You never know. It depends on how well the country's doing and what they, you know, feel if we're going in the right direction or not. Right now, I think we're going in the right direction for the first time in decades, and I think that's going to help the Republican Party come the midterms.
Speaking of political affiliation and moderation, I think there is a death of moderate politics currently going on, where you're either super far right, super far left. Do you think that Trump favors moderation, or do you think it's like his way or the highway?
Well, I think he favors moderation. I think he favors people that want to put the American, you know, people first. And he don't care if you're Democrat or Republican or independent. That's his goal, is to put America first. Now, it all depends on, like I said earlier, if people think that the country's going in the right direction, which way they're going to vote. But I think Trump is more center of the line. You know, before he was Republican, he was a Democrat. And he's given to both sides of the aisle to get things accomplished. So I think he's more of a center of the line type of guy.
I would disagree with you there. Just based off of how he talks about the opposing side. Because you would think that moderates, when talking about politics and everything, they see both sides and they compliment. And like, yeah, I totally see where so-and-so is coming from. This is how I perceive it. And I totally understand where this other side's coming from. And I adopt that and do it in your own way type thing. I don't think Trump embodies that, do you?
I think he does. Remember, I said he started out as a Democrat. And you've seen hordes of people leave the Democratic Party. Even Kennedy left the Democratic Party. He said, really, that he didn't leave the party left him. It's because they've gotten so radical that people just can't get behind them. People are just, I think they're fed up with the Democratic Party, to tell you the truth. I think that the Democratic Party would come back to them, but right now it's just a little bridge too far for a lot of people. And they like the policies that Trump has, because the Democratic Party used to be for the people, and now they're for anybody but the people, it seems like.
But does Trump embody the idea of moderation? Because he's continuously, like, said horrible things about people within his own party. Again, in the episode, I mentioned Tom Tillis, who is a notoriously moderate Republican. He's said horrible things about him and pretty much wants everyone to get in line with his agenda. So do you think, because I think there's also like an embodiment of like dissent built into being moderate, is that you don't always agree with everything. You aren't gung-ho about everything that the administration wants to do. Do you think that his push for making sure that everyone falls in line with his plan and his agenda, even though they are members of our legislative body, do you think that is a form of democratic backsliding and dictator tendencies?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. I know Trump says a lot of things to get clicks, to get, you know, that attention. And that attention, good or bad, whether he's being spiteful or whether or not he's just trying to get people engaged or get politicians engaged and change their mindset. Remember, he was voted into office for his policies. And if he sees a Democrat or Republican not getting online with that, sure, he's going to call them crazy things. He's going to, you know, say something that's absurd. But it's going to energize the base. It's going to get them free advertisement from both sides. And they're going to get criticized. I mean, even negative publicity is still publicity. And he's a master at it. He can get people to do things whether they know they're doing it or not, it seems like. It's like when he goes against the Democratic Party and he calls them crazy or whatever, what happens is people get enraged and they start talking about him, and what's he get? Free advertisement. So he says crazy things to get the mission accomplished. Whether or not he means them or not, who knows? I mean, look at the things he said about his opponents during the Republican, you know, run for presidency. And then he turns around and puts the same people in his cabinet. You know, it's all fun and games. And when you're running for office, you say what you got to do to win. And it draws attention. I mean, look, he spent almost nothing on his run for president because he was getting all the free advertisement in the world by saying ridiculous things and calling people names or whatnot. He's a master at it. And he got the attention, kept his name in the, you know, headlines, and ultimately won. He's a genius when it comes to that. And people buy into it, hook, line, and sinker. So I would say he's more moderate when he comes to his policies. He just needs to do things a certain way in his mind to make sure those things come to reality and fruition, because if he just lets it die and it's like, okay, we'll go on to the next thing, that's not his MO. He's going to keep pushing it until he gets what he wants.
I want to change the direction and look at the endorsements from established dictatorships. So Putin and Kim Jong-un both like Trump. Do you think that's a red flag for democracy?
No, not at all. What I think it is a win for democracy, because all these people that are our enemies were supposed enemies. I was told by a general one time when I was in the Marine Corps, how do you defeat your enemies? You make them your friends. And when you make them your friends, that alleviates us having to go to war over something silly. So if we can go ahead and make North Korea, you know, a little rocket man, remember when Trump used to call him all those names? Well, now he goes to North Korea, walks across the DMZ, and now little rocket man's his friend. We don't have any problems with them. Russia, he puts tons of sanctions on Russia. Putin really don't care because Russia's been under sanctions pretty much forever, it seems like. But Trump doesn't want any problems with Putin. He wants him to come to the table and, you know, maybe we can all strike a deal and benefit from it unilaterally. But I don't know. You got to make friends with people to get things going in the right direction. If everybody's your enemy, and then the only other option's war, and who makes money off war? The rich. And then the middle class and the low, you know, lower income families, they're the ones that are sending their sons and daughters off to fight for these stupid things that shouldn't even happen in the first place.
Okay, so I want to ask you, do you think you learned anything from the episode about autocracies, democracies, and democratic backsliding in the U.S.?
Well, I did. You know, the difference between autocracy and democracy and how easily they can slip back and forth between the two, and how easily it is for the general population not to notice a difference because they're gaslit one way or the other until they realize, hey, we made a mistake, and then there's avenues they can take to change it back. But yeah, knowing it from what you had in your last podcast, yeah, I did learn quite a bit.
Do you think that there is any merit to the claims that I talked about in the episode?
I would say there is some merit.
Which one sticks out the best to you, like the most to you?
I don't know, to tell you the truth. You know, some of the things that Trump does and that you put in your podcast talking about, you know, how he's kind of leaning toward an autocracy is what it would look like. But, you know, that stuck out to me. But at the same time, I know that's not his MO. That's not what he wants. But he's willing to poke that bear and get that attention to accomplish what he wants.
If we're assuming that Trump doesn't want to become a dictator, do you think he pays attention to the claims of democratic backsliding? Does he take those to heart and be like, oh crap, my bad guys?
I don't think so. I don't think he thinks about it at all.
So if he doesn't want to become a dictator, why does he not think about things that dictators might do so that he doesn't do them?
I don't think he's focused on that. I think he's focused on making America great again, in his words, focused on getting America back on track, because our government has been corrupted for decades.
What do you think about my analysis in saying that Trump can't be a dictator because he owes too many people, he didn't co-opt the elites right, and talking about the protests and how people said, no, we don't want a king?
Well, I don't know if he owes too many people or not. I don't follow that portion of it. You know, for all his little rallies and stuff like that, he may owe people, he may not. I've never heard anybody report on it until you just now. So that aspect, no clue about. But he knows he can never be a dictator. He knows that the Constitution doesn't allow it. He knows that the American people, both right and left, wouldn't allow it. I know that the American people, at least on the conservative side, on the right, we're more worried about who's going to take his place when he leaves. Who's going to step up and fill that gap? I know J.D. Vance is his vice president, and we're hoping that he has the, you know, same policies and continues on. But then we're worried about, does he have what it takes to do what Trump's been able to do in such a short period of time? That is yet to be seen. But we've also, I've heard people with rumors and stuff like that saying, hey, what if Vance becomes president and President Trump becomes the vice president? Well, I highly doubt that will happen because, one, Trump is too old and probably won't live to be, you know, 100 years old. It'd be interesting if he did, but yeah, there's no way in God's green earth that Trump has a chance to become a third term president.
Do you have any questions for me about the episode?
I'm trying to think if I got any questions for you as I'm priving. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything.
Here, do you think any of the, like, red flags that I picked up on in the episode and described on in the episode, do you think any of those are just, like, out of left field crazy?
Yeah, I think they're worth considering to keep an eye on. Do I think any of them are going to come to fruition and that we have to be really worried about it? Not really. But, you know, stranger things have happened, so I'd keep an eye on them. And as a journalist, your job is to hold the government accountable for doing what they say they're going to do and make sure they don't overstep their bounds. And if they do, that the American people are informed about it. Now, being informed means, you know, an even base on it, not right leaning or left leaning or anything like that, but straight down the middle, call balls and strikes. So I'm going to rely on you as a journalist to call those balls and strikes. I know we have opposing views from different sides of the aisle, which is good, and it's healthy, and drives me crazy sometimes, but it's okay. But just keep doing what you're doing and keep an eye on those red flags to see if anything comes up or if you see anything pushing more toward them to make them a possibility.
Thank you for tuning in to this very first installment of Debates with Dad. I'm going to try and incorporate these throughout the month. So expect to hear from me and my dad debating over the topic that I just covered in the official main episodes. Come back next time, and it was TBD on what we will be debating. Thank you for tuning in.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.